You're going to love this sermon today. It's on health. And I knew I could keep you here because we have a fun show that you wouldn't get up and leave while I give this sermon. Actually, there's two families that needed this sermon more than any other because it's the second time they're going to hear it. It's the Scarboroughs. Welcome. They heard it in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. And the Sargents. Because we heard it a couple weeks ago too. And the giver is more responsible for doing what they give than the borrower. The receiver in this case. So, I might mention as we start out here in the sermon, and I do want to emphasize this, that it's not what we eat, let's say on a weekend, on the Sabbath, when we have some sweets, that is going to hurt us. One day a week, if we have liquid or cake or, you know, whatever we eat, and because we do have sweets on the Sabbath day, that's not going to be the problem. And people can become religious fanatics when it comes to food, and they make a religion of food. And that is definitely a problem, and there are a couple of scriptures I will read concerning that. So after services today, please feel free to eat anything. I'm only going to be watching out of the side of my eye. I will not be looking at you directly. No, I'll be eating. You know, I'll be eating. I like sweets. But again, it's a way of life that we have. It's a practicing way of life. And I do want to emphasize that. And also, no one is going to tell you what to eat. It's very important for us to take principles to be balanced, but also to study ourselves and not make that a way of life of studying either, in the sense that you're always, always into that subject, because that is a problem. Again, we can make it a religion. But that said, we all probably need to be a little bit more careful. Because of just what we have in Satan's society. Satan has really done a very good job in deceiving us. Not on unclean meat, because we all have that. But we rarely hear what unclean means. And so I'm going to be emphasizing today in the sermon that when we talk about unclean, we're talking about toxins. We're talking about poison. I don't think when Leviticus 11 was written that the children of Israel in the wilderness had a store where they could go and buy all the foods that we can buy. You know, they didn't worry about that. They had their animals. They had their herds. They had a lot out there, a lot more than we can imagine. And they were probably healthier. Well, they were healthier than when they were in Egypt, because as we know, God talks about not having the diseases of Egypt. But it has more to do than with just food also, as we'll see, and I'll bring that out as we go. So I'll start with some disclaimers here. Eating unclean meat, now this is what I heard from an individual. He was a Protestant, and I was doing something in the house, and I had the TV on in the background, and it was I just heard it while I was doing something else. But I remember him mentioning this and saying it a couple of times. He said, eating unclean meat won't keep you out of heaven. You'll just get there a lot faster. And I thought that was very interesting. There was also a evangelist who is very well known. I won't advertise his name here, but I remember saying a clip, because when he said this, this gets around the church because we don't eat unclean meat. But he said, you know, really, he was saying to the 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people in the audience, he said, really, we shouldn't be eating pork. It's unclean. And then he paused and said, do I hear some rebellion out there? And so he knows. He's a guy that doesn't eat it probably most of the time. Maybe he does sometime. But it was interesting that an evangelist said that. He's an evangelist that doesn't teach doctrine. He teaches feel good. It's a feel good sermon that he gives most of the time. and you may know who I'm talking about. Here's another disclaimer, I guess we could say. Muscle and fat burn just as quickly in hellfire. I thought that was, that's interesting. Now, I heard that from a minister who said that to me. And at the time I had no idea. It was like, I was a college student and I walked in and there were a bunch of us coming over there. But he looked at me when I came to the door and I thought, I have no idea what that means at all. I do not know why he's telling me that. Then I thought back years later that, I played basketball in college and ran track in college. And maybe he was trying to tell me something. So I take it to heart. And so I tried to get rid of all my muscle and all my fat, and that didn't work. Actually, that's not what he was telling me either, was it? But he was just saying, we can make too much of being in good shape, actually. Then I came up with this one because I was thinking about the sermon here, but I was thinking, if speaking in tongues without love is clanging cymbals, then food and exercise without love is only a healthy sprint to hell. Okay? Because really, that's what it's all about. If speaking in tongues, which some thought was a gift of God that would get them into the kingdom, but if we have anything that we have without love, without the right motive, it's just a fast sprint to hell, especially if you're thinking about health. So I want to emphasize that food, exercise, anything in the way of living longer, if we're striving to be 122 or 116, if that's our whole goal in life, then we're just going to miss out because we have the wrong goal. My goal is to try to die healthy. Okay? But I don't think anybody's going to think that as they walk by my coffin. He was sure healthy. That's not what people think of. They just don't. What do people think most of the time when you think of a person, any person? It's character. It boils down to character. It is what type of person was that individual. And there's some scriptures, and we'll bring that out too. But we do need to take it seriously, so I don't want us to go through the sermon, and with any sermon, so and not apply it, because the prayer was, last thing that was said, help us to apply it. But we have to apply things in a very righteous way and with the right motive in anything that we do. So first thing is glorify God in our body. Glorify God in our body. At the same time as I go to the scripture, when you read the context of this scripture, we're going to see that it is talking about being moral, being moral. So 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, and we've heard probably most of these scriptures before. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Now, as much as this can be used to make sure that our bodies are as healthy as possible, we certainly know that God protects us when we're righteous. Actually, a couple weeks ago when I gave this in Kansas City on the way to church, we were at an intersection, and I mentioned this over there, and started to go into the, go into the turn, and I looked up and a fellow was going through the stoplight. And it had to be a full second before we even started going, after the green light. So he saw the yellow light, and then he was probably 100 yards back when he saw the yellow light, and he stepped on it. But about 50 yards out, I'm sure, there was a red light before he even got to the intersection, and we would have been T-boned. And one of us would have been killed. And it didn't matter how many Brussels sprouts I would have eaten to that point. I would have been killed. Health does not save us at all. We We look to God for protection. We look to the angels for protection. But again, at the same time, we do want to be healthy. If we come back to the context of 1 Corinthians 6, we see here in verse 13, for example, the body is not for sexual immorality. So the context is about morals, keeping the Ten Commandments. We're going to be better off when we keep the commandments, first and foremost, than putting too much stock in beef stock versus pork stock, for example. We have to, for sure, make sure that our character is important. But at the same time, we do have a body, and we want to glorify God in every way. And it says body and spirit. We have a spirit that comes from God, and we glorify God in our spirit also. In the same book, in 1 Corinthians, we see that we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, just a page back. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, don't you know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If you defile the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now again, God is talking about morality. God is talking about not sinning. He's talking about not breaking the Ten Commandments. But at the same time, we do have a body. It is a body that God gave us, and we want to make sure that we treat it properly. Just as sexual immorality can give us an STD, a sexually transmissible disease, we can also get other diseases that are just as bad as a disease that comes from immorality, can't we? So we want to treat our bodies properly. Romans 14, verse 15 through 19. Romans 14. And by the way, in this sermon, I'm not going to get into specifics too much, although I may have to use a couple examples because sometimes we don't know what certain terminology is. We do know what unclean meat is, don't we? But it's going to be about avoiding toxins in our body. But Romans 14 and verse 15. If your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Now, I've explained this before, and there is a problem here, if you read the first few verses, with the one eating and the one not eating. Both had a problem. The one who didn't eat thought that they were so much above the other, and the one who did eat was really upset at the person who didn't eat. And it's not talking about unclean food here. It's talking about food. There's no such thing as unclean food, by the way. There's unclean meat. Society would call it food. You know, it's the other white meat, I think, is the sign that I've seen on the road. So there was a problem both ways here. Paul here in the book of Romans was talking about making sure that people had a right attitude towards the other. And if there was anything that was going to offend, then don't do it, except keeping God's word. You know, if we obey God and that offends people, we understand there's nothing we can do about that. But there are things that we can do something about. You know, we might have the attitude, well, God allows it, and I'm not going to let them keep me from doing it. And it's like, no, if they're going to be offended, just don't do it while you're around them. Do it at other times if it's fine and right in God's sight. But if you know you're causing offense in front of them, just don't do it. And we see here then in verse 17, the kingdom of God is not food and drink. How many of us are going to worry about what we eat and what we drink in the kingdom of God? And the answer is, we don't even have to eat. However, we will. We'll drink wine. Jesus Christ ate fish with the disciples. At least he was there, and I think he was eating fish with them. We will eat and drink in the kingdom because it's pleasurable. And as soon as we eat it and drink it, it won't go through a digestive process where we assimilate it into our body. It's going to be just burned immediately, right away. In fact, I saw this one statement, I believe it was this past week, where it says, the food we eat either turns to energy or it turns to fat. One of the two. And I think that's pretty good. In other words, it can be used later on for quick energy, or we can have stored energy, but we don't want the type of energy that is stored that takes 25 years to break down in our system. And that's, I think, one of the problems with this society. So in Romans 14, God pretty much gives us our walking papers, and that is, don't let food cause problems in your relationship to other members of the church. Do not let what you eat and what you drink cause problems. Now, it is not telling us that we can go out and eat unclean meat because it's poison. Not saying we can do that. We can mistakenly do that, and that's understandable, and it's not going to kill us right away, probably, although there are certain foods definitely that could kill us, especially your scavengers of the sea, more so than even pork. But anything unclean certainly can cause this problem. And if there are worms in the pork, that's pretty bad too. There was a program out where the person had pork in the refrigerator. They didn't even know what was causing this problem. But you know how television shows are. They examined the person's refrigerator, and certainly there was pork there. And then they said, it's worms. It's, trichinosis, I guess. That was the problem, and they couldn't detect it very quickly in the hospital. I think it settled in their feet, and they said, if you have trichinosis in your feet, you got it in your brain. I think that was is what it said. Okay, so how we treat one another is important. I may be a mean-spirited fellow, but I eat well. How many people would like that guy? No, we don't. We'd rather have somebody that is really happy and not in as good shape. Treats us well, you know, is gentle, kind, good to us, but and treats us well. That's what we want, both. Psalm 147, what is God impressed with? Psalm 147. So there are a lot of principles telling us that character is of the utmost importance. Character first. Psalm 147. And I use this with especially my son and myself. When he was a teenager and he was involved in sports in his early manhood, verse 10 of Psalm 147, God does not delight in the strength of the horse, and God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. Now, why would he say that? Well, because men had strong legs, you know, they had these strong pillar legs, and probably were, in fact, I know they were, because I've heard some people read what the Greeks left behind in some of their writings, and how they were going to the gym back about this time, and they were lifting weights in a gym just like we do today, and the person was talking about the strong glutes that they had. And so human nature doesn't change, does it? So God at that time knew what human beings would be vain about, and he said he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. I saw something, come to think of it here, about a week ago, where there was a man that lifted, it was a clean and jerk. If you're not sure what that is, it's taking a weight. This was on a bar, an Olympic bar, and he cleaned it up to his neck, you know, his breast, and then you jerk it up, you know, you actually jump under it. He clean and jerked 385 pounds. Now you might think, well, that's a lot, but I'm sure that can be done by, you know, a few. The kid weighed 150 pounds. Now that is something. If you take a 150-pound kid, with 2.5 times his body. But God's not impressed with that. We men are. Wow, I wish I could do that. We think, but God's not impressed with that type of thing. The Lord takes pleasure, notice, in those who fear him. first and foremost. And those who hope in His mercy. In other words, God says we're going to be much better off if we remember our sins that we repented of, but that we remember our sins and remember that God was very merciful on us when we did repent. That's what God is impressed with. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And I don't know why I'm giving all these scriptures, because really it's on health, and probably you're going to stop listening after I get through these, right? I'm kidding about that. We tend to not like politics, not like food subjects, and not like religion subjects, except in the church. We're okay with religion, and we're okay mostly with politics. That's a Trump subject, I guess, in these days. And the weather is always okay, of course. But food, it's one of those things, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, and don't talk about food, and you'll stay out of trouble, right? But notice 1 Timothy 4 then in verse 8. A bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And the point I want all of us to see here is that bodily exercise or bodily eating the right foods does profit for a little time. It is profitable for this life. And so that's what this sermon is about. In all of this, I would say, if we put it in priority, morality is king. Now, Jack LaLanne said that exercise is king, is what he said, and food is queen. He's actually been proven wrong. You can exercise all you want, and if you don't eat right, your body's just going to break down. Food is above exercise. It just really is. But I say morality is king. Morality has to be king. Then, and maybe we could fit in some other things beside, but food would be queen, and exercise would be a prince. Okay? That's how I would put it. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Here we find when the children of Israel were being preached to by Moses, I guess we could say, before the children of those who came out of Egypt were about to go into the promised land, we find Deuteronomy 6:6, and this is quoted so often by the Jews themselves. These words, well, verse 4, actually. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you should teach these diligently to your children, and talk with them in the way when they're up and down and moving all the time, and bind them as a sign, verse 8, on your hand and frontlets between your eyes. So here, this is the spiritual core that we have. At the same time, however, we do find that God said that when they came out of Egypt, if they obeyed Him, they would have none of these diseases. So let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And here's where we ask ourselves some questions. Exodus 15 and verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, this is chapter 15 and verse 26, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So healing is a result of keeping commandments. Now how is that? And by the way, I have a number of scriptures here in Deuteronomy 28. This is the blessing and cursing chapter. And you see it has to do with health too, obedience to God. Well, what were the Egyptians doing? Were they eating properly? Now, their morality got them into a lot of trouble too, no doubt. They had all of the problems that would come along by breaking God's commandments. But what was it that they were doing? Well, they were eating everything that Daniel said he wasn't going to eat. He was not going to eat that. Now, sometimes we think, well, I'll just stay away from unclean meats. In fact, I've had people tell me or ask me the question, how come it is in the church when we don't eat unclean meats that we have exactly the same problems as the rest of society? And the answer is because it's a principle. We want to take the principle of unclean being poison and stop consuming too much poison, because in the society you can't stay away from it. You just can't. It's hidden. Literally, it's hidden. It can, you can take a look at a label, and there are a lot of things that aren't even on a label that if you knew it was on the label, you probably wouldn't eat. It's this, our society, and Satan does this. Now, thankfully, God has given us a liver. He's given us other major organs in the body. For example, the Isles of Langerhans. Have you ever heard of that? When it comes to diabetes, when it comes to insulin, when it comes to the adrenaline gland, and how if you get a little bit too much of something that is not good for you, the body goes to work and it balances out the body from being acid to alkali. You know, all of these things that this evolution body that we have has done. Fantastic body, you know, and brings things back into balance, okay? So we have a body where we can eat a lot of things, and the body was made not to just drop over dead just like that, because we get a little bit of something too much over a period of time. No, the body takes care of it, but it can't take care of everything if we overdo it. No, it had to do also with what we eat. This is why Daniel would not eat of the king's food. He just wouldn't. There are just too many toxins. So if we obey his commandments, keeps all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you. So when someone stole, there wasn't automatically a disease. Okay, they steal, I'll cause a disease. Could God cause a plague if people involve themselves in idolatry? Could he bring that onto them? And the answer is yes. Remember Moses and the serpent and raising up that serpent on a stake, and they had to look to that before they were healed. And, of course, there's a tie-in with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that, too, because we see what Christ said later on about the serpent that was raised up on that staff. But it didn't happen just immediately most of the time, just because someone stole or because someone took God's name in vain. It just didn't happen. It was because they were eating the same foods that the Egyptians ate. So I'll ask you some questions about countries or about peoples. Why is it the Amish hardly have any autism? I'm going to have you look it up. I'm not going to tell you. But there are reasons, and I can see people actually it was on the left side on me. Anyway, it's a mark of the beast. No, it's not. So you can look it up, but the Amish hardly have any autism. Why? The AMA would hate to hear or hate to reason why, but there's a reason. So look it up. Why is it that Denmark has the highest cancer rate in the world overall? And I didn't look and specify which cancer, but why is Denmark the highest and the country of Niger, I'm not sure, N-I-G-E-R, why is it the lowest? It's because of their lifestyle. It's because one country is eating the same stuff as the Egyptians did and another country isn't. Why is Japan the lowest in coronary heart disease? I still remember being in a seminar years ago, and there were a couple doctors there, and they were talking about treating cancer. And I raised my hand and I said, well, have you ever done any studies and looked into the countries that have don't have these cancer rates at all or very little and see what they're doing? And there was a pause. And it's like they knew. I could tell because they said, well, yeah, we know Japan is really low, and but they didn't go on to say why. And there's reasons. And we should think, well, if I don't want this disease, then what am I doing or what is America doing? Because America is pretty high up on a lot of these things. UK is the highest when it comes to coronary heart disease. Well, I should say high. I don't think it's actually the highest, but it's right there at the top. And this is taking about 237 countries throughout the world. So why is Iceland very low when it comes to diabetes? I know they're frozen 8 months of the year and they don't eat anything, sure. But Iceland is so low, and why is Egypt so high? Egypt is 17th out of 237. Check into what they eat, because we are what we eat. Actually, there's another part of that that I'll get into. We are what we eat, or what was passed down by our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. But we can stop that. We can do something about what our great-grandparents did and what our parents did. But we want to study these things out and find out. When it comes to our parents and grandparents, let me put it this way. The second commandment is talking about, in fact, we're in Exodus 15 here. Let's go to Exodus 20 and just read what it says. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to graven images, carved images. Do not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Now, what happens here? How does God intervene? So you have my great-grandparents and my grandparents who have this problem and my parents, and then I have the problem. We often say that, well, I just inherited it. And it's true. It's called the methyl tags. It's the epigenome. It's DNA. And there are actually tags that we are all born with. And so when you're 56, all of a sudden, something turns on. You know, you get a disease. That's probably, it could be a methyl tag, or it could be our problem. We're the ones who caused it. Could be. But there could be a weakness there with what's called a methyl tag. It's in the DNA. Now, what is it about God showing mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments? He intervenes, doesn't he? Why does he intervene? Because we keep his commandments. What is part of keeping his commandments? Not doing what the Egyptians did. So we can actually, even by diet, it's been proven. In fact, the article that I saw here about 2 years ago, written by a minister, it was actually a book report, showed, and I hate to bring this up, I hope we have some vegetables tonight, but basically, well, during the week, you can. It doesn't matter, again, what we eat on the Sabbath, it's not going to hurt us that much. But during the week, guess what it is that stops the trigger, the fuse that is burning, and it's a long fuse, maybe 50 years, but it finally comes 50 years and then explodes and we come down with a problem. What will stop that fuse or really slow it down? You know what that article said? Cake. No, vegetables. Said, eating the right food. But vegetables was one of the keys. It's amazing. And I thought, well, God did say, I've given you every green herb, is what he said, to eat. And so it's what we eat or what we don't eat. Now again, do we have to have a perfect diet? And the answer is no, you don't. You get 80% is a figure I've seen. I've seen a 75%, basically, though it's the bulk of what we are eating the foods that God provided for. You know, what I saw something this past week where it was talking about a woman who, at the age of 16, became pregnant and kept drinking alcohol. And she really indulged in alcohol, she said, when she was carrying the baby. And the baby was born. I mean, she was probably getting drunk two, three times a week. It was really bad. And that child now, at the age of 43, the mother's 59, the child is 43 and has the mental capacity of probably of a four-year-old. Plays with dolls and, you know, just can't do anything else. All nursing mothers know that what they eat gets into their child. If you've nursed your baby, you know that you ate some garlic and the baby did not like it, or you ate onions and the baby didn't like it, or you ate some really strong peppers. That should tell us never eat strong peppers. No, it's okay if you're not pregnant. Garlic is okay if you're not pregnant, and onions are okay if you're not pregnant. But we actually give that to our baby. You know, it's something about nursing too. I was just thinking, I heard this, that when a baby suckles, that baby is also telling the mother what its body needs, and then within the week, by the end of the week, the mother has produced in the milk what the body needs. Evolution is fantastic. But isn't that amazing? Breastfeeding, and in fact, they used to think that mothers did not have any vitamin D in their milk. And they found out that there's not just fat-soluble vitamin D, there's also mother's milk vitamin D too. Like God actually did know what he was doing. After all, the baby is being nourished very well. But we see that with smoking. All of us know that a mother who smokes, in fact, they can smoke so much that the baby cannot be delivered properly, will not come down the canal, because the bones are too soft, just from smoking. Just amazing, not so amazing, I guess. So the poisons that I ingest when young affect my offspring to the fourth generation. Unless they repent by cutting the fuse to the metal tags. So, and we can do that by what we eat. Now, also, I believe morally speaking, there's something that is passed down too when someone is practicing breaking God's law. There's just something that is passed down. I am sure of it. That the child is going to have to fight and also overcome and repent of. We can go, by the way, and see the list of foods that are mentioned in the Bible. I actually went there a couple weeks ago, and you see the complete. It says complete. It's not really complete, but it's a good sample, I guess. In fact, probably more than a sample of what the Bible tells us to eat. You have seasoned spices and herbs. You have fruits and nuts, vegetables and legumes. You have grains, fish, fowl, animal meats, dairy, and then miscellaneous. Eggs, which 20 years ago were not good for us, and now last year is good for us. God said eggs were good for us. I mean, you're eating a whole chicken in one egg. We eat about, probably between the two of us, we probably eat six chickens a week. Because, well, more than that, because we eat chicken too, besides eggs. Well, we have to count custard. Seven chickens. And rice pudding. Didn't you put an egg in the rice pudding too? That's eight. There's eight chickens. So some desserts, you know, are complete foods, you know. So if we take that too far, we'd stop eating because we already ate one egg and we're full, right? But here's wine, vinegar, olive oil, and locust. Honey, grape juice is mentioned in the Bible. Eggs. I guess it was grape juice. Sometimes it could be wine too, but that's mentioned in the Bible also, as we know. But you can look this up and see everything that God tells us to eat. We can have sins of commission and sins of omission. We want to make sure that we don't eat too much of what God would say is toxic, but we do eat those foods that God says is good for us. Now, not that we have to eat all of them. In some societies, you don't even have it around. In the Middle East, they had food there that we just don't have access to here. And I wonder if in the world tomorrow we're going to be transporting that much food around. I just don't know. The whole earth is going to be changed somewhat, so that's going to be helpful. Maybe we'll all be able to grow more foods throughout the year, seasonal foods. So we have that list, and of course there's a doctrine of demons where God says there are foods that we should eat that is sanctified, but people don't eat, and it's the doctrine of demons. So if anyone doesn't eat a food that God says is set apart, that is good, for religious reasons, then it's a doctrine of demons. If we eat it because we are allergic to it, and it's not doctrinal, when God says it's okay, then of course that's different. Some foods are poisons to some people, and they're healthy to others. I think we all know that there's a woman in this congregation who has a granddaughter. If they eat onions, they would die. They'd have a seizure, and that would be it. And I know going out to dinner, the person says, if you want me to die, lie to me about what's in the food because I can't eat onions. And they're very careful. So God has given us every green herb. He's given us the meats, the foods that we should eat. So I come to the next point. Do not tempt God and then expect him to immediately come to your rescue. Do not tempt God and think that he's going to come to your rescue. There are foods that we eat where we'll come down, or our immune system will get weaker, and then we are more susceptible to a disease. That's possible. There are viruses that come along, and it doesn't matter how strong you are, you're going to get a cold. You just will. And I don't believe colds are called diseases, even though we don't want to give to other people. But a virus is everywhere, and you can pick it up when you grab a hold of something, a doorknob or whatever, when you go to the store, those viruses are around. And if you just, scratch your ear, you may have problems. If you rub your eye is more susceptible than the nose, actually, and you can come down with a cold. So those will go away in either 1 week or 7 days. Take your pick. Pretty much it's going to be the same. But I don't think God calls those diseases, although I wonder in the world tomorrow if we're going to have those viruses around. I think we're going to have a lot less of that. There'll be a way to make sure they're not there. I don't know where the first virus came. I think it was when Adam and Eve opened Pandora's box. So why do we have Pandora music? Probably it's Pandora's box too, some of it, a lot of it. So again, do not tempt God and expect him to immediately come to our rescue. Jesus Christ, remember in Matthew 4, was told by Satan the devil, jump off this cliff. And that's when Jesus Christ says, do not tempt God. So we can't just go along, and I've seen individuals, and when I put my hand on my nose like this, I wonder whose hand did I shake. When you go to God and you want to be healthy and you pray for health, and then let's put it this way. If we put a cut on our arm, took and cut our arm, okay, and we know what caused the cut, and we ask God for healing because it's a deep cut, and then as soon as we ask God for healing, we take the knife and we just slice it again, is God going to heal us? So what are we to do? God says, find out what causes the cut. Simply put, if we're sick, find out what made us sick, right? That's what we want to do. It is not natural to be sick. It is not natural to be sick. It is not. There's a cause. Now, are we going to get sick? And is it a sin to get sick? And the answer is, I'm not saying that. No. You don't read when Paul said, I left my fellow minister and my lead is sick. He didn't say, he sinned. No, we can have disease and not sin. We can. We know that. It does happen. We are physical bodies. So not every disease is caused by sin. In fact, in James it says, what? When you're anointed, it says, if the person has sinned, then God will forgive them. So there are some diseases that are caused by sin and others that are not. So we want to make sure that we're not. But also, if we know why we get sick, we don't want to tempt God and say, well, I'm just going to continue in my, I'm just going to do what I want to do and I don't care. Remember, what we do, especially if we're young, is passed down to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. At the same time, if we do what's right, that's also passed down to our kids. We can pass health down to our kids. We just can. Okay. Now, some people might say, well, you know, you're not a nutritionist, so why are you doing this? How many of you are mechanics? Just one. So Mr. Willis does not put dirt down his gas tank because he's a mechanic. How many of you don't put dirt down your gas tank? I want to see your hand. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, I don't. So you don't have to be a mechanic to know what to put down your gas tank, and you don't have to be a nutritionist to know what to put down your gas tank, your food, your mouth, right? Because some people can say, oh, you're out of your league here. Well, I'm just trying to get principles, and I've been sick. I know weaknesses that I have, and I've had pneumonia. And I know how I got it, and that was leaving a wet t-shirt on, and that's not good, right? It almost killed me. In fact, the nurse in the area said, if he doesn't go to the hospital, he's going to die. Well, I had to do something, and I did enough to keep alive, but still, we can die of things that are not caused by food. It can be caused by individuals who want to make it through the red light. So, and also, there are some things that kill us faster than other things. So I'll go through that list. A major key to health is understanding toxins versus no toxins. We have quick-killing toxins. A quick-killing toxin is chemicals. Chemicals can kill us right away, or we can be killed by those same chemicals 20 years later. Chemicals. In our society, in fact, one scientist has said that the major cause of disease in the United States is chemicals. And we breathe them in. In fact, there's a section, I think, from Detroit all the way to New York City that is just horrible when it comes to pollutions in the air. So chemicals, and we can't get around those. In fact, there's a saying that says, if you want to be healthy, do not drink the water and don't breathe the air. And I think those in Flint, Michigan believe part of that, right? Well, which brings us to another point. Lead can be quick killing or it can be slow killing. How is that? A lead bullet, it's very quick, but we're not talking about that, are we? You can have lead in your pipes. The story about that, by the way, is a woman in the early part of 2014 saw that when she bathed her twins, they both came out of the water and they had a rash. And then she noticed when she was shampooing her daughter's hair that her hair started coming up out. And so she had the water tested, and the water showed high levels of lead. This is a private laboratory where she had the test. And so she called the city, and they wouldn't hear of it. No, they said our water's safe. And then she called, I believe it was one of the heads of the EPA, and he couldn't believe it, but he followed up on the story, and that's where things started happening over a very slow period of time. It wasn't until June, I believe, that they really started leveling in on this. But, of course, the state denied it, and I think Flint was saving a few bucks by not putting chemicals in the water that would stop, that would put a seal on those pipes to keep it from rusting. Now, my thought was they're putting a chemical in the water that is keeping the pipes from rusting, you know, and, well, sealing those inside of the pipes. So we're drinking the chemical, right? So drink well water. But now you've got a field right next to you where you've got herbicides and pesticides, and you will die from your well water. Well, drink rainwater. Well, you have pollutants in the air, and as that rain comes down, it is looking for something because it is distilled water. And it's looking to be filled, you know, it's incomplete. It's a vacuum, so to speak. Well, maybe not a vacuum, but it's missing whatever makes it complete. And now what are you doing? So I think we should just go on a diet of cheesecake and get it over with. There we go. Beer and pizza. That sounds pretty good too. So we look at this and we want to beware of chemicals. We don't eat bad mushrooms, do we? Bad mushrooms can kill us. Quit killing. Drugs. Medications, by the way, will just really, it's very hard on your immune system. They may help us with what we're fighting, but at the same time, there's a bad side to it also. I was talking to Mr. Howell on that, and he said that actually when they say, well, this, beware of this because it can give you cancer, this depression pill can give you depression, and went down the line. He said, actually, they have to do that for legal reasons. Most of the time, you're not going to really have all the states you might get from taking medications. So we may need medications, but at the same time, in the world tomorrow, we no doubt will have very good food, very good water, and we're not going to have to worry about breathing the air. Slow-killing toxins, unclean meat. It's a slow-killing toxin. Processed foods. Processed foods, slow-killing. I still remember in the booklet years ago, Does God Exist, where Mr. Armstrong took a whole page under Does God Exist and talked about foods that were killing us because of being processed. How many foods do we eat today that are not processed? The word homogenization is processing. Pasteurization is processing. But overall, I suppose, in this society, it may be better than worse in some cases. You know, that's a catch-22. But you want to go with what is best for you. The fats that we have in our society, I'm just talking about toxins now. So unclean meat is a toxin. Processed foods over a long period of time are toxic. Fats that kill, there are fats that are toxic. And if you take the chain of carbons and hydrogens and oxygens that make up fats, and if you take the fat that you're using and just put it down with a bad fat, pork fat, let's say, or the fat that we shouldn't be eating off of a cow. The marble fat in meat in a cow is not going to hurt you, but that outside fat we cut off, right? So you take the bad fat and you take the chemical composition of anything else that you eat that is a fat and see how close it is. There's trans fatty acids, margarines that we shouldn't be eating. It's a bad fat. And there's so many other fats that you can take a look at. I should say most margarines, because I hear there are maybe a couple. But I'm just bringing out that because sometimes we say fat and we think, oh, I cut all that fat off. And then we take another type of fat that is not a good fat. By the way, butter is not one of them. Butter is a good fat, but I wouldn't recommend eating 2 pounds at a time. I think that would be overkill. And speaking of that, too, anything can kill us, brethren. You can drink too much water and die. So water can become a poison, and that just means eat and drink in moderation. I don't think too many of us drink too much water. Yeah, some probably do. Simple carbohydrates. And I thought after giving the sermon in Kansas City, I thought, I wonder if people know the difference between a complex and a simple carbohydrate. Fruits, vegetables would be complex carbohydrates. Simple carbohydrates is, well, take a guess, look it up. In French, it's S-U-C-R-E. But some are worse than others. They just are. So I'll have you look them up, because I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but stay away from too many simple carbohydrates. Will your body take some? And the answer is yeah. But do they become toxic very quickly in large quantities? In not so large quantities, in fact. And the answer is yeah. Is yogurt good? Yeah. Can they put simple carbohydrates in yogurt and make it not bad? And the answer is, yeah. So eat foods that spoil and eat them before they do. Eat foods that spoil and eat them before they do. That's very, very important. I'm going to, for the last section here, just give you a report from Johns Hopkins University. And again, I'll have you, you get into the details of what you should eat. It's just, we want to avoid poison. So there's a fellow named David Mocht in Johns Hopkins University in 1953. He was a Jew. That's why he did the study. But he wanted to see if his experiment would prove what the Bible said, and that is that these foods that God said were unclean are toxic. Can it be proven? And the foods that are clean, the meats in this case that are clean, are they non-toxic? So what he did is a phytotoxic index. Now he created a phytotoxic index. And basically it boiled down to taking a root growth of seedlings, okay? The root growth of seedlings in a solution of mussel juice. That'd be the mussel juice of the clean or the unclean. And then they dissolve the mussel juice in a plant physiological saline solution, basically. So in a salt solution. And then they put it on the seedlings. And the conditions were the same. So they've got these mussel juices. So let's just say mussel juices that they put onto these plants to see what would happen. And they had the same crop of plants grown in normal control solutions at exactly the same conditions. They just put the different mussel juices to see if they would become toxic. And the answer is, the ox was really good, 91% clean. It was just good. It was not toxic at all. Sheep, 94%. You can eat sheep. Calf, 82%. The goat, 90%. A deer was 90%. Your sheep were even cleaner than venison. The swine was 54%. The category that was bad was definitely, I think, under 60%. The swine was bad. Surprise. The rabbit was bad. Guinea pig was bad. Camel was bad. And the horse was bad. That's not a surprise to us, is it? Proved in this laboratory, and actually there's a college in the Northwest that did a study, and also I heard of another college that did a study. The dog was 62%. The cat was 53%. That'd be the cat that the borrower did not want to have around, I guess. The squirrel was 43%. The rat. So if you had the choice between a squirrel and a rat, which one would you eat? Eat the rat. You think, what? The rat is cleaner than the squirrel. And that's what my wife grew up on, squirrels. No, actually on her second birthday, they had squirrel. I don't think she ate any probably. How about the groundhog? Would you, which would you eat? The rat or a groundhog? Yeah, take your pick. They're about the same, but they're both bad. The fox the opossum was bad, the hamsters were bad, black bears were bad, grizzly bears were bad, rhinoceroses were bad. Everything that the Bible said was unclean was toxic. It was toxic. The chicken was good, the duck was good, the goose was good, the turkey was good, the pigeon was good, the quail was good, the Canadian goose was good. All above 80%. The sparrow hawk was bad. The red-tailed hawk is about the worst you can get. It was 36%. It's a killer. The crow, the bad. The coot was bad. The wild duck was good. The coot was good. The wild duck was good. And the swan was good. Potato chips were baked. And therefore, they were good. Now, there are foods that we eat that we have to be careful of just because of the way they're processed, too. You can eat a little bit of it. There is a difference between eating unclean meat that is toxic and something else that is toxic, and one would show rebellion against God if you just ate it. I'm going to eat it. It's toxic, but I eat this other toxic stuff, so what's the difference? Well, God says this you do not eat. And you find even in the prophets where it talks about that at the last chapter, I believe, one, where it was it wasn't just a sin to eat it. Now, Ezekiel, the last chapter in Ezekiel, but basically it puts a pretty bad light on unclean. But the point in all of this, brethren, is to ask the question, I suppose, is the food that we're eating going to kill a plant? Would the food that we eat kill a plant? If it does, I wouldn't eat too much of it because it's going to kill our bodies. I'd stay away from too much. You can get away with a little. Again, there is a cleansing system that God gave us. So let's go to the last scripture here and go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And I hope I've given this in such a way that we don't make religion, food, a religion. But at the same time, I hope that we give a little bit more thought to being healthy and glorifying God in our body. Colossians chapter 3. And here God tells us in verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. We just have to think, motive? Why do I want to be healthy? Not to get into an argument with other people about food, not to judge other people about food, because we're going to stand just me and Jesus Christ the end time. I'm not going to be able to say, but they did this, God. And Jesus Christ will say, it's you and me, brother. You and me, and brother would be the right word. Just you and me, I'm judging you. I'm not judging anybody else. Now, is food going to be the critical? And the answer is no. Food won't be the critical, but at the same time, God is going to look at our motive for doing everything. So our motive has to be to glorify God in all that we do. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's keep that in mind in whatever we do. And again, let's bear in mind that what we eat 20% of the time, as long as it's not unclean, that God has said not to eat, is not going to hurt us. We hope. Even then, be careful. It's the food that we eat through the week that has to be very healthy and that we have to be more careful of than just the treats that come along from time to time.